You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
The Podcast Playground.
Hooray!
Welcome to another special episode of Taking a Walk, Music History on Foot. You can find Taking a Walk on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, the Podcast Playground, or wherever you get your podcast. Please share this with your friends as well. This is the podcast where we dive deep into the lives and careers of musicians of all type, young and old. Today, your host Buzz Knight is thrilled to be joined by Steve Howe, legendary member of the band Yes. He's a guitar virtuoso and a progressive rock pioneer, and we'll welcome Steve Howe next on Taking a Walk.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi there, Buzz. It's Steve here.
It's so great to talk to you. How are you today?
I'm not bad. Yeah, and yourself?
I'm doing excellent here. I'm sitting in my backyard in Carlisle, Massachusetts, so you may hear the sound of some birds. I'd love to be taking a walk with you in person. Where are you, in London?
Yeah, I'm in London right now, yeah.
Well, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it. We're going to talk about the new Yes album, Mirror in the Sky, and we're going to talk some history. But before I go on, I don't know if you remember a moment that you bailed me out pretty significantly when I was doing a series of shows in London. And you graciously recorded an interview with me at that time in person. I got back to the studios in London, and I realized there was nothing recorded. And so I went back and tried to bribe you with a Duane Eddy album and a bottle of champagne, and you were gracious enough to bail me out, come back down to the studio, and do the interview. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, but it was an exception, because usually I'd say, well, tough luck, no recording, goodbye. But anyway, I'm glad I did it. That was a nice call, but I most probably, I'd be hard-pressed to do it again.
Well, I'm really appreciative, but thank you for being on. So, as you recall your career, do you remember the first moment that you knew you were hooked on music, and do you remember the first moment you knew you were hooked on being a guitarist?
Well, I guess when I was about 10, I thought I was getting pretty hooked to music, and my parents had wonderful records by Les Paul and Mary Ford, and also Tennessee Ernie Ford with Speedy West and Jimmy Bryant playing great guitar solos on it. But by the time I was 12 and I really wanted the guitar, then I knew I was going to be a guitarist, and, you know, I wanted to play the guitar more than anything else. And 12's pretty young, although it's not as young as some style. But a couple of years later, when everybody had been twanging like mad, you know, the Ventures, the Shadows, the Spotniks, Duane Eddy, all that stuff was kind of like peaking. You know, I discovered Chet Atkins, and he was my guy. You know, he was the versatile all-round guitarist. He also a producer, fun enough, but also a great guitarist, and he was my main inspiration, along with, you know, Wes Montgomery, you know, Julian Bream, all the great guitarists. Have definitely, I've listened a lot to them.
And who of the folks that you would encounter that were guitarists that you admired, who made an impact in you personally as you got to maybe know some of them?
What do you mean, people I knew? Albert Lee, he was the first guitarist that knocked me sideways. In fact, it's not a made-up story that when I opened for Chris Farley and the Thunderbirds and we went to watch them, when Albert started playing, my band had to hold me up. I almost collapsed. He was so fantastic. And Albert Lee's one of my... I'm a really huge fan of Albert Lee's. And basically... You know, of course, Hank Marvin, you know, I did meet up with Hank. I mean, I met Albert, thank goodness, and met up with Hank a few times. They're very early players, you know, who were in two schools. They were either very good tune players, like Hank and Duane Eddy, you know, they knew how to carry a tune, or like Albert Lee, he knew how to improvise, and that was what I mainly wanted to do, you know, to learn about that. So, you know, many, many guitarists. You know, I was only 16 when I saw Wes Montgomery play live. I mean, that was unbelievable. So I've been very lucky to catch some of the greats.
So you've been a creative songwriter your entire career. Can you describe your songwriting approach?
Well, I mean, initially it was one, maybe still now, it's a vehicle, you know, for my guitar work. So in other words, you know, the songs are kind of important thing to me, and I've enjoyed writing about my life and the way I see the world, if you like, and the ideas I've got for it. But it's also a vehicle for the guitar. So the two things work in tandem. And then I found that, yeah, you can sit down and doodle a lot, but I started writing just words, you know, random sort of things. And then I'd see if I could kind of edit them into some shape that might fit with this tune or that tune. So basically, it was a learning curve. I did it a lot of different ways, you know, and did it on cassette recorders, on quarter-inch machines, you know, on 8-track, on digital 8-track, you know, and now, of course, Pro Tools is remarkable. But I still work at home fairly simply on a hard drive, but it's not a computer. I don't have to deal with computing. So basically, songwriting is something, if you want to do it, you just can't stop doing it, really. And sometimes I think, oh, I'm not writing lyrics anymore, I'm fed up with that. And then about 3 months later, I get an idea and I think, that's pretty good. So, yeah, it comes back on me. But mainly, solo guitar work is what I like writing, and those tunes on an album called Motif Volume 1, and I've got Motif Volume 2 coming out soon, and basically that's solo guitar, and I love writing for that and playing other people's tunes, but basically it is a big vehicle for my writing is my solo guitar piece, you know, Clat, Mood for a Day, those are the beginnings of it, but since then I've written 25, 30 more pieces that I enjoy, Sketches in the Sun, you know, all sorts of things.
How have you been able to balance being technologically brilliant as a guitarist with the emotion of playing guitar?
Well, I don't know. That's got to be kind of a natural process. The two are kind of part of the same thing, you know. So basically, I would say that I notice how people play very precisely and the emotion that you can, you know, it's timing, you know, it's all about how you position that note, how you let it resonate or how you play a few more. I don't know where it's all easy to talk about that really, because yeah, you've got to be proficient on your instrument before you can be proficient in expressing yourself really. So the first 10 years are a lot of noodling around, having a lot of fun, but I think after that and that was when I joined Yes. I think I knew that there was an emotional quality in this. I was playing blues a lot. Yeah, it's pretty soulful stuff. And I was playing soul in a group called The In Crowd in the 60s with Keith West. Basically, I had dabbled with a lot of different music that did have an emotional sentiment, you know. So I think most music does, you know.
Do you have a position on what artificial intelligence is going to do to the technology of recording music?
Well, so far, technology has done an amazing amount of things. You know, Pro Tools is a great example of very high state of... it's unbelievable working in Pro Tools, you know. I do that when I've got my tracks and I've got something, then I move into Pro Tools with Curry Schwartz, usually, the guy who's engineered these Yes records for us. So basically, that is a process. AI is a kind of scary factor. I mean, you know, what it can do is it's got to look out, and nobody's got the reins. Just like when the internet came along, nobody had the reins on censorship or anything. You know, it's all void. Of all the things that we valued about democracy was a sense of control. But there again, you know, maybe that went too far, but maybe this will go too far as well. So I would think I'm a little pessimistic that we need to be dominated by machines, but there again, you know, we're talking on a fundamental, you know, machine, you know, telephone, but basically since then we've gone to the moon, you know, so, I mean, you got to own up. I mean, technology is unstoppable, really.
As a legacy member of the band, Yes, you've witnessed, you know, firsthand lineup changes. Is there a common theme why you think changes occur, and do you have a reason that why the band has been able to be so successful with this amazing longevity?
Well, we've had to cope with all the changes, but they're never the same, you know. I mean, take Bill Bruford, you know, he left. nobody wanted him to leave. So there's all sorts of paradoxical reasons why things happen. One of the fundamental reasons is the guy falls out of sync with really where the general sense of the band is heading, and they become restless, and we notice that, and we think, well, this doesn't seem right, you know, and sometimes it's a shame, you know, but sometimes it just has to be, and there's changes, and there's changes you don't want, you know, nobody wants, and then there's changes that are a committee approach. Well, this isn't working well, so we're going to have to do something, you know. It's a bit like an orchestra, you know, if you're the first violinist, you can't mess up, you know, you can't keep messing up your tunes, otherwise they'll get another first violinist. And I guess Yes is that important, like the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra is, you know, it's important that what it does very, very well. And that quality control, that idea that there is a level at which Yes has to perform at is totally, totally real. I mean, it's a demand, you know, it's an expectation. But at the same time, it's a demand. And those are the things that drive change.
How's the relationship with you and John Anderson?
You know, we don't have a lot of contact, but what we do have is we have love for each other, and we've allowed each other to get on with our lives. You know, that's a very important thing, without, you know, sort of incarcerating each other in some historic expectation. You know, we're all free to move around and play the music we love and write the music we love and record and perform the music we love. So, I mean, John and I have some nice contact sometimes, and I think we're very respectful of each other at all times.
So let's talk about the new album, Mirror to the Sky. Tell me about the process of putting that together, and describe maybe how you feel about it.
So after we did the Quest, we were quite surprised that we were still hungry for more. But Thomas at the label, Inside Out, Sonny, they were very encouraging. Said, well, you know, if you want to, you know, we'll definitely be there. If you want to do it with us, we want to be there with you. So basically, we took the opportunity as that album was being released, to start to conjure up this music. And basically, you know, we're quite a happy team. We've got lots of ways that we work that work for everybody, because that's what a producer has to find, is a way that works for everybody, not just for the producer. That's an awful idea. But the idea is to make a harmonious place and build and have a good team. And, you know, technical team as well, but also, you know, look at the management. All those things are important. And basically, you know, we do want to make music, and we do want to design it so that it has elements of what Yes Music is about, and can tell those kind of stories, the kind of semi-orchestrated of orchestrations and arrangement. Mainly Yes is an arranging band. We don't just like play a song with a lot of strumming for 3 minutes and then it ends. We kind of develop lots of riffs and counterparts and harmonies. So basically, yeah, we do want to do this. You know, we're happy doing it.
Oh, congrats on Mirror to the Sky. I'm so happy for you. I could hear the excitement in your voice. When you think about being a pioneer of progressive rock, can you describe what you think the impact of that entire great genre of music is?
Well, I guess it's a widening of influences, you know. If you like the, up to the mid-60s, music was kind of contained within a certain format, expectation. But I think with psychedelic music, that became kind of wild and free and improvisational. And that carried on in progressive rock. But what progressive rock brought to it was that word I used a minute ago, arrangement. Because what that is mostly, if you hear a good progressive rock piece of music, it's got a sense of arrangement, but also a sense of fire and improvisation too, because music's nothing without improvisation, but improvisation's nothing without structure. And that's something Chris Squire really believed, that you know, I could leap off the fingerboard, providing he had a part that could hold it together. Yeah, and that's what your teamwork's all about in a band. It's all about sharing. And then the vocal section, you know, so everybody's got to, like, okay, find a place. Finding your place as a musician is what we're doing all the time. Finding the right sort of part at the right sort of level, at the right sort of tone. It's fascinating, you know, it really is.
What advice would you give to aspiring musicians who might be listening to this podcast?
I think I did something recently where they asked me for 5 tips. One tip basically is find your comfort zone, but be ready to kind of learn about making that work in other environments, because your own comfort zone is really cushy. You know, you're sitting at home and you're noodling, you know, you're recording. But I think, you know, what I've felt, you know, unless you're Stevie Wonder, or, you know, you're somebody who can write everything and play everything, then you should learn, you know, the trade. And by doing that, you learn about your comfort zone, like encouraging some comment, and then you are able to comment on what the other musical idea that might be coming to you. And it's about sharing. Yeah, you learn to share. It's not a very easy process. I can tell you, I was well sensitive when people said, oh, I don't like that much. You don't like it. You know, it's like, how insulting. But it's not. It's a comment that you've got to learn to take on board and say, I don't like that bit, you know. And you've got to learn to be strong, I guess.
As you reflect on your Hall of Fame career, is there anything that you might have done differently?
Yeah, I would have kept ABWH going and not become Yes.
Is that right?
That would have been a big difference. But, you know, and that was Yes Union. So, I mean, a lot of people like Yes Union. But basically, it was a kind of steal from thunder, because ABWH did some great things, and we went out on tour, and we were quite happy to do that. And then suddenly we had the complications of I think 3 or 4 managers, 3 or 4 accountants, 3 or 4 labels, 8 musicians. It was really quite hard. But basically, that's what I would have done different.
Well, I'm so grateful for the music that you've given through your career and that you continue to give. Congratulations on the new Yes album, Mirror to the Sky. It's so great to catch up with you again, Steve Howe, on Taking a Walk.
All right, thanks very much. Good to chat with you. Thanks so much. Thanks for your enthusiasm.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.